This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of LabCast. I'm your host, Kevin Kane, and today I'm joined by Joel York to talk about SaaS growth strategies. Now, if you don't know Joel, he's a SaaS marketing and sales executive and the respected author of a blog called Chaotic Flow, where he writes about SaaS strategy, marketing, and sales. You can find that blog at chaotic-flow.com. Hey, Joel, thanks so much for joining me today on LabCast. How's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so, you know, as I mentioned in my introduction, today we're talking about SaaS growth and sort of the different levers that are available to drive that growth. And so my first question to you today is just, can you kind of explain the framework that you use to look at SaaS growth levers?
Sure. I've been working on this kind of model to really understand the different levers behind SaaS growth for a while. And it's got its foundation in this this metric that I call the SaaS growth ceiling, which is really a very simple number that you can calculate that would be of interest to any entrepreneur or any VC, and that it tells you right now, today, what's the biggest your company could ever be given the current metrics that you're having. And that's the SaaS growth ceiling is a very simple metric. It's essentially your acquisition rate times your customer lifetime value. So, for example, if your acquisition rate right now is 1,000 customers per year, and your customer lifetime value is $10,000 per customer, then the largest your SaaS business can ever be is a $10 million business. So you've really got to, if you want to change your life, you want to change the future of your business, you've got to change one of these fundamental levers.
And so, you know, that's easier said than done. I can imagine there's a variety of strategies one might employ from a variety of different disciplines, whether it's sales or marketing or business development. Can you kind of highlight what some of those strategies might be, maybe going through those?
Sure. I mean, there's quite a few to choose from now.
Sure. So maybe just some of the highlights.
Yeah. In this particular series I'm working on, I'm identifying 10 marketing strategies. But as you said, there's complementary sales strategies and business development strategies. But the way I like to look at it is to map those strategies to the particular stage in the customer life cycle that you're really attacking. There are two reasons for this. One, because the strategies vary depending on whether you're trying to drive early demand or you're trying to reduce churn. So, these are different stages of the customer life cycle. And then the other is that there's an interesting aspect of SaaS businesses where the individual customer life cycle is highly correlated to the evolution of the company itself. So, for example, if you're an early startup, typically you focus on early stages of the customer life cycle, like just getting awareness and getting people to sign up and convert. Whereas if you're more mature and you're starting to reach the SaaS growth ceiling, you start focusing on later stage elements of the customer life cycle, like, for example, reducing churn and network effects.
So let's focus then on that earlier stage. And can you talk us through maybe some of the sales strategies that apply?
Sure. So in particular, the most important thing to understand before you even pick a strategy is you really need to know what your go-to-market sales model is going to be, because SaaS companies tend to come in three different flavors when it comes to sales models, which is there's the self-service model, there's kind of the highly transactional inside sales model, and then there's the high-end field sales model. And the particular strategy you might choose would be different. So, for example, if you are a self-serve business, then you really would focus on things like being visible in SEO and driving inbound demand. Whereas if you are a high-end enterprise business, then you might focus more on just getting, focusing, finding your sweet spots, getting those names, and literally, old school cold calling as your primary sales strategy.
Now, what about things like technology, like auto dialers or lead enrichment and cleansing? Is that something that you would recommend?
Yes, I would. But it depends on your situation. So the most important thing to look at here is where your bottleneck is, because if you can improve any given stage in the sales process or purchase process, but if that's not the bottleneck, then you're not going to have an impact on final revenue. So, for example, if you've got lots of leads but they're not converting, then maybe conversion is your bottleneck. But if conversion is great but you don't have enough leads, so you always want to find the particular bottleneck that you're going after. And that can vary from company to company, from market to market.
And I imagine the same thing then would apply to marketing and business development strategies as well?
Yes. Marketing strategies in particular are an interesting topic in SaaS, because one of the most important things on the marketing strategy side is to really understand the role that the product itself plays in the marketing strategy. One mistake I see a lot of SaaS companies make is, and it's just kind of a tendency in the software industry, to think about the product separately from the marketing. And I always like to say that there's four P's in marketing, and one of them is product, and it's very important to look at what you're doing in the product. So, for example, you asked, you know, what are some of the strategies for early stage? You know, if your product has public-facing pages and user-generated content, then you can actually search engine optimize those pages, and you can use them to drive traffic. I mean, you see the consumer SaaS or internet companies do this all the time, but I think the B2B companies struggle with it a little bit more. And then there's the element of whether or not you have a free trial. You know, that's very much a standard in the SaaS industry today, but I still find SaaS companies launching without free trial. And it tends to be, you know, people who have more roots in, say, enterprise sales and are maybe having a little bit of a difficulty digesting the role that the product plays in the marketing mix in terms of driving demand and moving the sales process forward.
And then, you know, why don't you touch a little bit on the business development strategies that you think apply?
So business development strategies are probably most important when you're building network effects, because typically you need to bring in partners for that. Business development strategies can also be very important in the mid-stage customer life cycle or customer lifetime value, because if you want to do upsells and cross-sells, it may be that you don't have enough time to develop all of those capabilities. So you tend to find business development being really key when you're trying to build out some kind of partnership ecosystem, yet you want that ecosystem to create monetizable revenue for you, either through straight out upsells by, say, reselling somebody else's software, or through creating some kind of marketplace. Like, say, you've created a bunch of open APIs for your platform, and you want to get partners to plug into that, and maybe they're going to sell add-ons to your SaaS product. Like, you see this particularly in the more mature SaaS players like Salesforce.com, where, you know, they've got the whole app exchange where they're monetizing through that and driving revenue through that. So anytime you need to drive more of a network effect, that's probably when business development is going to become a key element of your growth strategy.
So, you know, I could imagine that for any SaaS company that's new, a startup or at the expansion stage, you know, you've got a finite amount of resources and you've got a lot of sort of conflicting or different demands on your time and your resources. So how would you recommend that a company would sort of prioritize all the different sales, marketing, or business development strategies that they might be able to use? I mean, is the idea to use them in concert on a limited basis or to really focus on one? I'm sure it varies very much depending on each company and their situation, but is there any sort of guidance that you could provide there?
Yeah, absolutely. I touched on this briefly a little bit earlier, but the key is what I call bottlenecks. So if you can think of this life cycle approach where you've got just basic market awareness and buzz on one end and network effects all the way on the other end, you know, and in between you've got customer acquisition and you've got churn reduction and you've got upsells and cross-sells and crowdsourcing, you know, any one of these could be your most important thing to do right now. Particularly as you mature, it becomes harder to choose because, you know, you've got customers at every stage of the life cycle. And you can pick and choose, you know, where you want to focus your energy. So to me, the key is to look at that life cycle and ask yourself, what's the biggest hurdle my customers are experiencing? Are they just can't find me? Then I need to focus on awareness. Is it that churn is 20% when the industry, you know, benchmark is closer to 10 or 12%, then you might want to focus on churn reduction. So you want to look at the metrics at each stage of the life cycle and ask yourself, where are people getting stuck? Where are they having problems? Is onboarding the primary issue? Like, we close deals, but people don't really use the software. Therefore, they churn. So if you look at it from your customer's perspective and you ask yourself, where is my customer getting stuck? Where is the bottleneck? That's where you should focus. Because the truth is, if you focus anywhere else, it won't have any effect, because the bottleneck will still be the constraining factor for revenue.
And these kinds of issues aren't the kinds of things that I think you can resolve immediately. They're going to take some time to sort through those types of bottlenecks. So, you know, I guess, what's your advice to companies to sort of sustain them through? Because they may want to see, you know, an immediate reduction in churn, but that might not actually happen for a while. So, you know, I think they might be tempted to try a bunch of different things rather than be patient. You know what I'm trying to say here?
Yes, I do. And this is, you know, this is very common, particularly when you're a rapidly growing startup and then all of a sudden you hit, you know, some kind of wall or stall in your growth, or even in a larger company where, you know, you just don't know what the right strategy is. So I think that it's important to have a mix of perseverance and experimentation. I mean, you don't want to stick with a bad strategy too long. So to me, it's an iterative process, and the metrics are critical. I can't overemphasize the importance of metrics, and not just financial metrics, but usage metrics and campaign metrics, et cetera, because in the end, if you want to know if you're having an impact, you've got to be able to do some sort of experimentation, give it enough time to run. And if it's not working, then quickly switch to something else. Whereas if you don't have the metrics, then you don't know if it's working, you don't know if it's not working, you don't know when to change. So to me, the way to get the right balance between focus and the long term is to have good data.
Absolutely. Well, Joel, I really appreciate your time today. This has been incredibly helpful for all of our listeners trying to understand SaaS growth. Thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope we can talk again soon.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me. I really enjoyed it.